Unit 1. Letters, numbers, and numeral relationships. Listening activity number 14.
The population density of the UK is about 234 inhabitants per square kilometre, which is well above the European Community average of 143 per square kilometre. England is the most densely populated member of the EC, with 364 people per square kilometre, with Greater London having a density, according to the latest figures, of 4,263 people per square kilometre, and Scotland the least densely populated, with 56 people per square kilometre, while Wales and Northern Ireland have 138 and 112 people per square kilometre, respectively. Now let's turn to the figures for some of Britain's largest urban areas. Greater London, the first city in the list, has an area of 1,580 square kilometres. It also has a large population of 6,735,400 in 1988. Birmingham, in the English Midlands, is 264 square kilometres in area, with a population of 993,700. Leeds, the largest city in the north of England, is 562 square kilometres, with a population of 709,600. The industrial Scottish town of Glasgow, with an area of 198 square kilometres, has a surprisingly high population of 703,200. Edinburgh, Scotland's capital, with an area of 261 square kilometres, has a population of 433,500. Manchester is 116 square kilometres, with a population of 445,900. Bristol, on the southwest of England, is 110 square kilometres, with a population of 377,700. In the Midlands, Coventry is the smallest city in the list. It's 97 square kilometres, with a population of only 306,200.
Listening activity number 15.
Listen to the tape and write down the numbers in the correct column.
In 1985, there were 6,261 full-time undergraduate students, with 3,472 men and 2,742 women at the university. The distribution of these students was as follows.
Beginning with the field of science, we find high domination of the field by men, with 1,137 men and 616 women enrolling in science.
Next, in the field of social science, we again find domination by men, the figures being 484 for men, 401 for women.
In the field of engineering, the difference is even greater. The number for men is 509, while only 56 women are enrolled in engineering.
In the field of arts, the number for men is 593, and for women it's 943. This is the first field we find dominated by women.
In medicine, there are 306 men and somewhat more women, at 336. This is a second field in which women lead.
Turning to dentistry, as you might expect, the field is dominated by men. The number for men is 139, and for women it is 107.
In law and in veterinary science, We are happy to see there isn't much difference between men and women in these two fields. In law, men number 182 and women 171. In veterinary science, the figure for men is 110, while for women it is 104. Listening activity number 16.
You are going to practice some percentages. We use percentages when we want to express a number more simply. Percentage means the number of x per 100. For example, there are 46 students in a class. 23 of them are female students. We can say 50% of the students are female students. Percent is said after the number. Skim the table below. Then listen to the tape and fill in the missing percentages in the correct column. From 1975 to 1985, the percentage of households with one car decreased slightly from 46.4% in 1975 to 45.2% in 1985. However, the percentage of households with two or more cars rose during this period. It is perhaps surprising that more households had a television than a washing machine. In fact, the percentage of households with a television was over 90% throughout the 10 years. There was a steady rise in the percentage of homes with central heating from 30% in 1975 to 60% in 1985. The percentage of households with a telephone showed a steep increase from 51.9% in 1975 to 80.5% in 1985. The number of UK households with home computers showed a large jump from only 2.5% in 1975 to 12.6% in 1985. One of the most noticeable features of this report is the addition of figures for video recorders. 30% of British homes had video recorders in 1985. It seems likely that both video recorders and home computers will become more common in homes in the UK in the future.
Listening activity number 17.
You will hear a talk about British trade in 1987. As you listen, write down the numbers in appropriate places.
Good morning. I'd like this morning to continue our discussion about British trade, and I have brought a couple of pie charts that I'd like you to look at. They give information about British trade by geographical distribution in 1987. The left pie chart is for exports, and the right one is for imports. Now let's look first at the left pie chart, the exports pie chart. You can see the European Community accounted for 49% of Britain's exports trade in 1987, and the other developed countries accounted for respectively North America at 16%, the rest of Western Europe outside the European Community at 10%, and the other developed countries accounted for 5%. These shaded areas represent the developing countries' portion. The larger one is for the other developing countries, except the oil exporting countries, which accounts for 11%. And the smaller, which is for the oil exporting countries, received 7% of Britain's exports in 1987. The last and smallest was Britain's rather minor exports to former centrally planned economies, and this figure was only 2% in 1987. Now let's take a look at the right pie chart, which is for imports. The distribution here is roughly similar. The European Community accounted for 53% of Britain's imports in 1987, and the other developed countries accounted for, again, a large portion. The rest of Western Europe imported 40%, Oh, pardon me, 14% of Britain's imports in 1987. North America accounted for 11%, and other developed countries represent 8% of Britain's imports in 1987. Turning to other developing countries once again, the largest of the two shaded areas is for developing countries other than oil exporting countries. And these accounted for about 10% of Britain's imports in 1987. And the remaining shaded area, which is for oil exporting countries, accounted for only 2% of Britain's import in 1987. 2% also is the figure for Britain's imports from centrally planned economies, as you can see from the lined area in the figures.
Listening activity number 18.
You are going to listen to a talk. Look at the table below first, then listen carefully to the talk and fill in the percentages in the correct column.
Researchers have done some investigation into what young people believe is a woman's place in society. Here is a report on some of their findings. The Chinese are consistent supporters of sex equality, with only 12% of young people believing that a woman's place is in the home. 93% are enthusiastic about sharing the housework, and 85% of them believe that women should be paid the same for doing the same job. 80% think that nursing is a woman's job, and 90% of them believe that mining is only men's work. 13% of Chinese, an extremely low percentage, believe cooking is solely a woman's job, and 7%, even fewer, think that only she should do the washing. For a more traditional view of a woman's place, turn to the Japanese. 52% think women belong in the home. 89% of young people believe that a couple should share the housework and get equal pay for doing the same job. 65% of them believe nursing is a good job for women, and 90% believe that mining is solely men's work. 75% of them believe a woman should do the washing, and 82% of them believe she should do the cooking at home. 80% of Koreans believe men and women should get the same pay for the same job. 39% believe a woman's place is in the home. 75% of them believe that housework should be shared between men and women if both work, but there's almost a complete reversal when it comes to doing the washing and cooking. Here, very few believe in sharing the work. 62% and 65% respectively believe that women should do both. 85% of Koreans believe nursing is a woman's job, and 87% think mining is a man's job. Turning to Thailand, we find a country that's not over-enthusiastic about equality. 45% of young people believe that a woman should stay at home. However, there's an interesting 20% gap between whether cooking and washing are solely women's jobs. 67% vote for women doing the washing, while only 47% feel the same way about cooking, and 86% of Thais believe that housework should be shared between men and women. 87% of young people believe that men and women should be paid the same for the same job. 92% think nursing is women's work, and 95% of them believe mining should be done by men.
Listening activity number 19.
You are going to practice some dates. Dates in Britain can be written in two ways. Number one, in numbers only. Day, month, year. So, 6/3/94 is the 6th of March, 1994. Number two, in numbers and words. For example, you can read day, month, year or month, day, year. For example, 21/12/1994, you read 21st of December 1994, or December 21st, 1994. Listen to the following dates. As you listen, tick the correct letter A or B.
Number 1.
When is Lincoln's birthday?
It's February the 12th.
Number 2.
Do you know Valentine's Day?
Yes, it's February the 15th. Oh, sorry, 14th.
Number 3.
When's Washington's birthday?
It's the 21st of February.
Number 4.
Do you know when April Fool's Day is?
Yes, of course. It's April the 1st.
Number 5.
When's Easter?
It's the 3rd of April.
Number 6.
When's Mother's Day?
It's May the 8th.
Number 7.
What date is Memorial Day?
It's May the 30th.
Number 8.
Do you know when Father's Day is?
Yes, it's the 19th of June.
Number 9.
Do you know when's Independence Day?
It's July the 4th.
Number 10.
Is there a Friendship Day?
Yes, it's on August the 7th.
Number 11.
When's Halloween?
It's on October the 31st.
Number 12.
When's Thanksgiving Day?
It's the 24th of November.
Listening activity number 20. You're going to hear about the circulation of some British newspapers and when they were founded. Listen to the tape and write down the numbers in the correct column.
The British are a nation of newspaper readers. Many of them even have a daily paper delivered to their homes in time for breakfast. British newspapers can be divided into two groups, quality and popular. Quality newspapers are more serious and cover home and foreign news thoughtfully, while popular newspapers like shocking personal stories as well as some news. These two groups of papers can be distinguished easily because quality newspapers are twice the size of popular newspapers. Now you are going to hear about the circulation of some of these two groups of newspapers in 2003 and when they were founded. First, quality daily newspapers. The Daily Telegraph was founded in 1855 and its circulation was 990,000 in 2003. The circulation of The Times was 690,000. And it was founded in 1785. The Guardian was founded in 1821, and its circulation was 410,000 in 2003. The Financial Times was founded in 1888, and its circulation was 450,000. Now we come to the quality Sunday newspapers. The Sunday Times was established in 1822, and in 2003 its circulation was 145,000, and the circulation of The Observer was 480,000. The Observer was founded in 1791. The Sunday Telegraph was established in 1961, and its circulation was 830,000 in 2003. Now let us look at the circulation for popular daily newspapers in 2003. The Daily Express was founded in 1900 and its circulation was 1 million. And The Sun was founded in 1964 and its circulation was 3,730,000. The Mirror was established in 1903 and its circulation was 2,130,000. The circulation of the Daily Mail was 2,470,000, and it was founded in 1896. Now let's look at the popular Sunday newspapers. The News of the World was founded in 1843, and its circulation was 4,100,000. The Sunday Mirror was founded in 1963, and the circulation was 1,880,000. The People was founded in 1881, and its circulation was 1,390,000. The Mail on Sunday was founded in 1982, and the circulation was 710,000. The Sunday Express was founded in 1918, and the circulation was 850,000. Unit 2. Form filling and table completion.
Listening activity number 1. You will hear a dialogue. As you listen, fill in the form below.
If you wouldn't mind answering just a few more questions. Your family name is Riley, isn't it?
That's right.
How do you spell it, please?
R-I-L-E-Y.
Thank you. And could you let me have your first name as well?
Certainly, Peter.
Could you tell me how long you've been studying English, Mr. Riley?
6 years.
And what examinations have you passed?
The IELTS test, and my overall band is 6.
Thank you, Mr. Riley. Now I have to ask you to try and assess your English in relation to your special subject needs. Let's start with reading. How much help do you need as regards reading?
I read quite a lot in my special subject. None, really.
What about listening? Do you need any help with that?
Yes, I think so. I need a lot of help there.
And what about writing?
Some help, I think. My main problem in that area is time.
And speaking?
A lot of help there. That's certainly my biggest worry.
Listening activity number 2. You will hear a dialogue. As you listen, fill in the form below.
Good morning. I'm Peter Smith from India.
Good morning. My name is Li Ying from China.
Ah, have you registered for the courses yet?
Yes, I have.
Good. So what subject did you put first?
Computer science.
I see. And what subject did you put last then?
Oh, arts.
That's interesting. Could you give any reasons for your choice? I mean, why did you put computer first, for example?
Well, now in my country, computers are very popular, and it will be easier to find a job after graduation. And also computer-related jobs are well paid. I suppose that makes a difference. Besides, information technology does have a very big effect in our lives, doesn't it?
Yes, I agree. It allows us to store very large amounts of information, transmit a lot of information quickly, and process a lot of information as soon as we receive it.
Yes. With developments in information technology, we can use computers in so many different ways, such as sending messages directly and receiving TV programs from one country to another, and processing all kinds of information.
Yes, it is more commonly used in my country too. And why did you put arts last?
Oh, yes, that's simple. I've nothing against arts. It's quite interesting and creative. But I really don't have talent in that area. So I put it last.
I see. What about the other subjects? What order did you put those in?
Medicine second, dentistry third, and engineering fourth.
Listening activity number 3. You will hear two telephone conversations involving an invitation. As you listen, fill in the forms below. Conversation 1. Hello. May I speak to Mary?
Speaking.
Mary, Frida and I were wondering if you and David would like to have a night out with us sometime.
All right, we'd like that very much. What did you have in mind?
Well, perhaps we could go and see a film and then have something to eat afterwards.
That would be great. When?
We were thinking of Friday.
That should be okay. I'll have to check with David, but I don't think we are doing anything.
All right, perhaps you could let me know tomorrow.
Okay, or I'll phone later. See you then, and thanks for the invitation.
Conversation 2. Hello, 204-5789.
Hello, Peter.
Yes, is that Mary?
Yes, how are you?
Fine. Have you spoken to David?
Yes. I'm afraid we're busy on Friday. We're going to a party, apparently. What are you doing on Saturday?
Frida's parents are coming over.
Oh, that's a pity. Some other time, then.
Yes, see you tomorrow, then.
Yes, see you.